Even if the sun ceases to rise, even if the wind stops to blow, but the name of Sligo Rover will shine and shine forever.
This is the Rovers preview on Ocean FM. Here comes a new SSC Airtricity League Premier Division season. It began kind of yesterday evening with the President's Cup. You may have seen it on LOI TV. Derry City laying down an early marker with a 1-0 win against Shamrock Rovers in Dublin. And yes, both of the Macleans played a full 90 minutes each. But the real action starts on Friday night, and for Sligo Rovers that means a trip to the Ryan McBride Brandywell Stadium to take on Derry City in their league opener. We're going to look ahead to that game, we're going to look ahead to the season and to all that's gone on in the close season at the showgrounds in the company of Jessica Farry, sports editor of the Sligo Champion, and Gavin Dykes, former player, manager of both Sligo Rovers and Derry City, and various other accolades, which we'll get into a little bit later on. Jessica, this has felt like a very short closed season. It doesn't feel that long ago that we were wrapping up Sligo Rovers and Shamrock Rovers in Talla Stadium.
Yeah, and Austin, I think part of the reason for that is, I think, was it the Monday morning after the season finished? We were back in the showgrounds to meet Archie Meekison because John Russell had the business kind of done at that stage. But yeah, I think with them going back in for pre-season training on the 15th of December, a lot of the players had joined before that. We had been up at the showgrounds and we had met a lot of them before that as well. And obviously the season is starting a week earlier, so it is definitely a shorter pre-season, but it feels like it's never ended, to be honest.
Yeah, Rovers were out of the traps with new signings at the end of last season, weren't they?
They were the quickest, and you know, Asua had signed as well, like just as the season ended, but he wasn't announced for another month because, you know, their contracts ran until the end of November, so they waited to announce him. But yeah, there was two or three signings very, very early on at that stage, and because John Russell was very, very keen to get his business done early, which is understandable, to be fair to him. So yeah, he got those ones in the door early, and there hasn't been too many needed, you know, in at the start of January, kind of like in previous years.
Let's cut straight to one of the big stories of the past 7 days, because you broke it last Tuesday for the Sligo Champion, and that was Owen Elding's move to Hibernian. He made his debut this afternoon against Rangers, came on as a second half substitute, had a couple of chances as well, I gather. It finished in a nil-all draw. Probably this time last Sunday we were all privately saying to ourselves, maybe we'll hold on to him for part of the season. It looks like it's gone quiet, nothing's going to happen. So when did you get a sense that he was gone?
It was literally Monday night when I first heard. I had heard one of the pre-season games in Treaty, or against Treaty I should say, in Westport. Owen wasn't there, and I thought maybe he was just sitting it out, and John Russell had said to me that he had got a kick or something in the Finn Harps game, which I would believe was true, because I believe that game was like a mud bath, I think, against Finn Harps up in Donegal. And I thought he might have been minding some of the players or something, but I heard from a few people then that Owen was over talking to a club, but never heard the name of the club. So I was kind of like, this could be nonsense. Now, it would have been very unusual for Owen to miss the game through injury and for him to not be there, because he would always be there. Even if he was sitting a game out, he would always be there. So I thought, yeah, maybe this is right. And then he was obviously back for the other two friendlies the following weekend. So at that point, you're kind of thinking, maybe he actually will stay. And I suppose from John Russell's perspective, he had been expecting Owen to go in probably November, December, and then you start January and there's nothing, no movement happening, and then you're kind of getting closer to the season starting, and John Russell himself is probably thinking, right, we're going to have Owen. But I believe that, and I think John Russell said it the other day to us, Austin, that it kind of accelerated very quickly over the weekend. And we were in with John Russell on Monday, I think, weren't we? Yeah, we were meeting Shane Blaney. And at that point, I had no idea that Owen was going to be gone. I think he actually trained on Monday. And then it was late Monday night that the talks really ramped up and that the bid was accepted at that stage. And then Owen was over first thing, I think, the next day or the following day then to do his medical and all that. So it happened very quickly in the end.
Yeah, and the deal was done by Thursday, I think it was, in terms of his it being made official by Hibernian. Gavin Dykes, we have been here before with players like Johnny Kenny when he moved to Celtic, and everybody straight away would look, well, how much are Rovers getting for the player? And we're moving into an era now where players like Mason Melia and maybe Michael Noonan have or will command seven-figure sums. Was it unrealistic to expect that the upfront figure might have been bigger for Owen Elding than the €400,000 that it seems to be to start with?
I suppose, first of all, Asti, I'd like to wish the young man all the best. I think he's been a smashing player for Sligo, and, you know, I'm delighted for him and his family. You know, it's good into professional football. I think Hibs is a good move for him. I think Hibs have got a quality player who'll only get better. The market has totally changed in the last few years here. Mason Mealy and Michael Noonan, there's another lad from Shams who went to Arsenal for $2 million. So it's big money. Now, if you break it down into the stats of that, you know, everybody has acknowledged, his own peers have acknowledged, that Noel Elding was the best young player in the country last year. Right, that's his own players, PFA. He got goal of the season as well. And, like, when you're doing deals like that, you know, it's really technical, because there's add-ons. I'm sure there's add-ons in the other deals as well. But you need to be at it, and you need to know what you know you're doing, because there's a lot of money involved in it. $400,000 is a lot of money, but I think it's not as much as the value as we could have got. You know, now there's a lot of circumstances for doing deals on those things. Timing is one thing. He had a year left on his contract. If the young lad wants to go, it's very hard to say no. All right. But if he has a year left on his contract, you know, and say Hibs come back and say, like, they're looking to sell their centre forward, as far as I know, there's a $5 million deal in for him. So I'm sure we could have squeezed and said, look, $1 million, basic, yeah, with add-ons, it'd make a huge difference to us. But that's very easy for me to say sitting here when I don't know the deals and who was involved in the deals. And I mean, that brings me on to another subject that I talk about all the time. Sligo Rovers is a football club. And a really, really good football club. And it's ran by volunteers all the time, who do huge work and bring in huge money. All the time. They're unreal what to do. And it's tankless. You know, to be chairman of the club, my own father, Lord of Mercy, was chairman. It's tankless. But there is a time where you need to go and look and see, right, what does that club need? And everybody tells me they need a general manager, they need a commercial manager, they need a technical director. They need somebody who's looking after the football department.
Right. Just for casual listeners, what is a technical director in your mind?
A technical director is somebody who helps every football department in the club and is over it and is over the running of it, and helps the first team manager and helps recruitment. You know, you have a first team at the moment, you have a ladies team, you have a very busy academy as well, we have an academy manager, but who's looking after and directing them? You know, and that's no disrespect to the people who are on the committee who are running the football club. It's a sector now that's hugely, all clubs, every place has them. Ronan Finn has gone back into Shamrock Rovers doing it. So there's no coincidence that Shamrock Rovers are getting the money that they are for their young people and their young players, because they've somebody who, Stephen McPhail done it before that. You know, if you look at Derry at the moment and Tiernan Lynch, Seamus Lynch, who's his brother, is highly involved in it. And he sort of looks after them side of the affairs of it. So I think that's the way the football club has to go. You know, Cork, who are in the first division, have brought in Simon Grayson with the experience he has to look after things like that. It's football now is a huge business, and you need somebody who knows that business inside out. And like, there's loads of people, I'm sure, who'd be interested in it if it was made attractive. And I think then you have a foundation to sort of build on. And John Russell has somebody to help him, because it's been a first team manager is 24/7 without having to do all the other things.
Jessica, just one last question on this, and we will move on. I mean, a few people mentioned to me, oh, if Owen Elding had been 17, we'd have got more money for him. And I'm kind of saying to myself, well, he's only 19. You know, Mason Melia obviously had the big seven-figure sum as a 17-year-old when that deal was actually cut. And maybe that is a big thing. I don't know. But do we have to get comfortable with the fact now that Sligo Rovers, to be successful, are going to have to be a selling club from time to time?
I guess, like we have seen this a lot, and it has been mentioned sort of at AGMs and all that, that if you want to be able to compete with the top clubs in terms of, well, in the table, like, I mean, financially you're not going to compete with them, but you likely are going to have to get one or two players every couple of years who you're going to make big money from, and that's, again, easier said than done. You know, we don't have the same pull here in Sligo and the same kind of reach that some of the Dublin clubs have. That is likely. And just Austin, on the point there about if Owen Elding was 17 and that, I have been told before by people who would know a lot more about this than me that sometimes clubs in the UK would look at a 17-year-old and they would say, well, you know, we'll pay X amount of money for him because we can bring him into our own academy underage system, grow him, develop him and you know, help him improve, if you like. But they maybe don't see a 19-year-old as being a young player as such anymore. Like, I don't know the ins and outs of it, but what I had been told before, again, by someone who knows this stuff, was that Sligo Rovers were less likely to get maybe a seven-figure sum from a UK club than they would have been from a European club. Again, I don't know the ins and outs of all this, but then you have the Irish passport with Owen, and I think signing someone without an EU passport at an EU club involves a lot more red tape, I think. So I don't know if that had anything to do with it or not, but this was just, because I asked someone a while ago, like, how does all this work and what are the club kind of expecting? And those were just some of the things that I was told. But I think Owen's Irish citizenship should be sorted in the next few months anyway, so hopefully he will get into the Irish under-21s. But look, you don't know. And I suppose from Sligo Rovers' point of view, they, number one, don't want to stand in his way, and number two, there's a fear that you may never get an offer like this again, I suppose. But look, it's going to be debated and talked about and spoken about for months on end, you know, like we have seen over the years for a lot of those transfers. And if the add-ons are as achievable as we've been told, then, you know, we should see that figure climb.
Yeah,
hopefully.
And we're not privy, Gavin, to the add-ons. And the same would go for other high-profile signings, whether it was Aidan Keane leaving the Showgrounds or Johnny Kenny going to Celtic. If Johnny Kenny should get a move down the track or get a certain number of international appearances, maybe there's stuff in there that indirectly feeds back to Sligo Rovers financially.
Yeah, well, I'd hope so, Austin, because that's the business of it. Just on Jessica's point, you know, that it's very difficult to attract players to Sligo. Always has been. Always will be. All right, and the money side of stuff, I suppose, is the big debate at the moment, you know, because you hear people saying you want to compete and with the budgets and all that. We never had the biggest budget down through the years, and we always competed. You know, this thing that the gap is getting bigger. Yes, the gap is getting bigger, and the money is getting bigger. But if we look at Drogheda and what they've done and what they've turned around into, I mean, Drogheda won the cup a couple of seasons ago under a part-time club. They've gone full-time. It'll be interesting to see how they do this year. They had a very successful year last year. The big test for them, and I know talking to Kevin, will be this year. But I suppose we can't just limit ourselves on where we want to be. You know, the ambition here, and that's probably one of the key notes here, is what is the ambition? What is the key objective set out for John Russell this year? Because that's the scary part of the thing that I'm looking at, is that, you know, we need to be up competing in Europe, because that's where the money is. That's where the European money is. And let's just say an investor arrived tomorrow and took it over and wanted to put money into it. He'd put in all his own people. All right? Are the people of Sligo ready for that? Is that what they want? Because he will put in people that run his company to run the football club. And that's the reality of it. So whether we're near that or whether we want that is a question, I suppose, for the members of the club, really.
Let's move on then to life after Owen Elding for the time being, and we wish him every success. Made his debut on Sunday against Rangers for Hibernian. And guys, both of you can jump in here, and if you want to contribute yourselves, guy listening at home, 083 3500 530 is the WhatsApp or text number. The first thing you do is look at the squad and say, well, who's going to get the goals for Sligo Rovers if Owen Elding, who got 12 in the league last year, 16 in all competitions, isn't there? So the attacking players I've written down are Kian Kavanagh, Jad Hakiki, Ryan O'Kane, Will Fitzgerald, can't read my own writing, May Traore, the new signing from Guinea. Alex Nolan has an attacking element to him, has scored a few goals for Cork and etc. prior to coming to the Showgrounds. Do we need something else there, folks, do you think?
Yeah, 100%. And I think John Russell said it to us the other day that he's not going to rush into bringing someone else in, but he will look at bringing someone else in. I suppose that he may have been trying to get another player in anyway, and Owen Elding leaving means that he definitely needs another, I would say, striker goal scorer. But he did say to us that he's not going to panic. He'll wait and see over the next couple of weeks, with the UK transfer window closing now. The League of Ireland transfer window is open until February 22nd. So he can see then if there's any lads at clubs in the UK who maybe didn't get a move or whatever, and maybe try and find a goal scorer somewhere there, because that's the plan. Again, easier said than done. It's not that easy to find a goal scorer, but I think that's the plan. I mean, and as you said, Austin, there, like you're looking at the attacking players who could potentially score goals. I think it was kind of acknowledged last year that Sligo Rovers maybe weren't getting enough goals from their wingers towards the end. That was picking up a bit, but you know, outside of Owen, Jad Hakiki, I think, was the second highest goal scorer with 6, and then Keegan Kavanagh had 5. And like, if you look at the top goal scorer every year, Porrigamond has got 14 2 years in a row, and that's not to diss Porrigamond or anything, but you know, it's not that long ago that Aidan Keane had something like 19 and he was winning that, you know. So I don't know, the top scorers are scoring fewer goals, so maybe that means more players are scoring, I don't know. But
yeah, Gavin, I remember you on commentary last year on Ocean FM countless times asking the question, where are the goals going to come from, particularly in the early part of the season?
Yeah, and I'd be as worried now as I was back then. I think, look, you take a gamble when you're taking somebody over from England, and the lad Traore, you're taking a gamble that this works for him, you know, and you hit a lucky patch. But you take a gamble with all players that you take in. Like, there has to be a reality. There wouldn't be with Sligo Rovers if there wasn't something, not to say not right, but that the other things haven't worked out. I'd worry about it. I really, really would. I don't see a lot of goals coming from wide areas. I think Jessica's already touched on it as well. You know, like, Elding sort of kept us up last year with the goals he had. There was no doubt about it. And to replace him is going to be very, very difficult. I think it's going to be very, very challenging, because everybody is looking for that centre forward. It's not just Sligo Rovers are looking for them, and that's the challenge. And hopefully the new people that have came in will start off well and maybe score early. You know, then confidence is built in. You know, you hear people talking about footballers and everything else. It's a confidence game, especially goal scorers. If they get off to an early start, you know, and score a couple of goals, all of a sudden they're going to run.
You've done various scouting and consultancy work for various clubs, both sides of the border, the Irish League as well as the League of Ireland. Like, finding an out-and-out attacker, centre-forward, is that the toughest one to fill?
It is, because, one, you're looking, there's two sections in it. The first section you're looking at is that you're looking at a younger one, all right, that'll sort of develop into something if given time, or you're looking at an older one who has probably been at a bigger club, who isn't happy there anymore and wants to move down. And it's trying to get the balance right in that. And it's very, very challenging. And I think, I hope that we might get something out of England. I think Jessica's point, and I think John is probably right, to wait and see what's around. But there's a lot of things that make just a player. You can't just bring in a player. Centre forwards are selfish people, because all they want to do is score goals. That's their business. That's what they do. That's the thrive on. You know, and the good ones that I have always met were the most selfish. You know, that's all they wanted to do. I remember we were beating 3-1, and a centre forward saying to me one day, well, at least I done my job, I scored. You know, that was the way he thought about it. And that's the way they are. And hopefully we can get one that has that mindset, that will sort of kick on, score a few goals, and sort of blend in with us. And I think that's the challenge, I think, but it's a huge challenge at the moment. Like I said, hopefully, if we go to Derry next week and Traore starts and he scores, he's a centre forward, he's been brought in. If he does that, or Keane Kavanagh starts and he does that, I think then they can build on it.
What do we make, folks, of the squad John Russell and Ryan Casey have assembled? 8 new faces. They had to rebuild the squad the previous 2 years, I think it's fair to say. It doesn't feel like quite a rebuild this time around, because there's a fair few players staying put. But having said that, we have lost Owen Elding. Paddy McLean is gone, James McManus, who was on loan, is gone, John Mahon is gone, Conor Walsh, and I think Matty Wolfe is gone. You can confirm that.
He's in Galway.
Yeah. So, and the faces who've come in then include, and this is in them all, Liam Hughes, the goalkeeper, Janet Essowa, who we remember from last season, Alex Nolan, Carl McHugh from Donegal, the aforementioned Mae Traore, Archie Meekinson, who you said was signed very early, to mention but a few. What's your sense on that, Jessica?
Well, the one thing that I would say about this year's squad is that there's actually more, maybe not like for like replacements, but there's a lot more squad depth there this year if you look at that, because, you know, in every position there's two players probably. I know they're probably a little bit short on centre backs at the minute. I don't know if John Russell is looking to bring one in, or if he's thinking of maybe Conor Reynolds filling in at centre back as well as right back. But, you know, even looking at, if you sit down now and try and work out what the starting 11 is, the midfield in particular is quite tricky, because there's a few midfielders there, but you've also got like Seb Quirk and Jad Hakiki and you know, Kieran Harkin, who you'd all think should be starting, but you know, you've also got Mikkelsen and Karen McHugh too, who would be coming here expecting to start as well. So I would say there's much more strength in depth, I would think. And again, yeah, probably maybe, and you would like to think there might be a centre back, but you know, at the minute you have Shane Blaney, Ollie Denham and Gareth McElroy, and then you have David Jonathan as well. So maybe they're happy with those four centre backs, I don't know. But yeah, I think my own opinion is that, again, and this is, you know, you need to bring in another striker obviously to replace Owen Elding, but I would think it's a when John Russell is looking at other squads, and he said this last year, like, you're playing teams and you're matching them, and then they can bring on three players in the second half who would start in several other League of Ireland teams, and that's the main thing for him. And he said that was the main lesson he learned from last year, was the importance of having strength and depth. And to be honest, I think he has that. We'll see as the weeks go on, you know, and obviously you'll have injuries and suspensions and all that, but that's the standout thing for me anyways. There probably is more competition for places.
Well, let's get the centre half take on the centre halves. Like, Gavin, there's no doubt the returning Shane Blaney is a quality player when he's fit. We've seen that in the past. Ollie Denham has quality when he's fit. You've got Gareth McElroy. You've got Carl McHugh, who has been around the block overseas in India, and we'll have to see what his fitness is like. Is that the big asterisk beside the centre halves at the start of the season?
I think the big asterisk and the big gamble is that John Mahon has left, and whether we like it or whether we don't like it, he was a local, and I hate seeing locals leave, to be honest with you. They're hard to get. He was made club captain last year, so I don't think he had the best season in the world by any means, and he'd admit that himself, and he suffered from injury and he got suspended a few times. But I wouldn't have let him out the door, Austin, and that's been quite honest with you. I think he's gone to Waterford. I think he'll do very well down there. It's probably a good move for John, if that's the way. But, like, when you let a local player go, and he was made club captain. Now, whether that was the right decision or not, at the time I questioned it, because some players aren't able to handle that responsibility. I think the other interesting one is we let Conor Walsh go as well, the goalkeeper. He was under 21 international. So, I mean, like, we've let two quality players, in my opinion, go out the door. Have we replaced them with better? I think Shane Blaney is a really good footballer. I think he's proved the last time how good he was. Hasn't played a lot of football. McHugh has well, done very well, can play in a couple of positions, so I can see the attraction of him. Ollie Denham last year, I think Ollie Denham has been very good, seeing him to Sligo Rovers, you know, but missed a lot of games last year. Injuries can happen and all that. So I thought Young McElroy was a good sign. Conor Reynolds you can throw in there as well. Defensively, I think we have enough, and I think SEO is a very good player. I think defensively we'll have enough. My worry would be, like I said earlier on, the top end of the pitch. That's the big part. If we pick up a couple of injuries there, we could struggle. But look, if you can stay in the games, not concede goals, you'll always have a chance of winning. You know, so I think that's sort of a basis. And I think in credit to John and Ryan on what to do. They've acted, as Jessica said, they were at it very early, you know, and did their homework done. So they know what they're trying to get in the door. It's just trying to match that with the budget that they have is the difficulty.
Let's hear from Ollie Denham, who says he is fit again and back to where he wants to be fitness-wise at the start of this new season. He missed a lot of the campaign through injuries. I remember him limping off second game in against Drogheda when Rovers struggled that night, and that was the start of that stumbling start to the new campaign, and then he was out for 3 months with that hamstring problem, etc. But he is back now, and these are his ambitions for the new season.
If you go in with the mindset of not wanting to get injured, that's ironically how you're going to get injured. So it's just about focusing and making sure you're doing everything right on and off the pitch as well, so you can give everything whilst also not getting injured at the same time.
The arrival of Karl McHugh, the return of Shane Blaney, it suggests there's going to be fair old competition for those centre half positions this year.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, no, but I always think competition for places is good because it brings out the best in myself. It'll bring out the best in them. So it can only, in a way, make your team better.
Yeah. What's your ambition for this season?
I think ambitions for this season will definitely be European qualification. I think from what I've seen from everybody in this pre-season, we're definitely a good enough squad to get that. So I don't see why not. And then also a good cup run as well, I think, is the ambitions for the team.
A good cup run that came up with quite a few Sligo Rovers players. More to do, Jessica, with what happened last season in the FAI Cup. And I suppose if there is a big blot on the copybook, it has to be Kerry FC in the FAI Cup quarter final. It was amazing. I recorded about 6 or 7 player interviews last week, and all of them, I didn't bring it up, they brought it up about the quarter final loss and the mess they made of that.
Yeah, it was the same when I was speaking to some of them as well. When you asked what their ambitions are for the season, the cup was mentioned by all of them, because I think for them, for a lot of the players, it was actually a really, really good chance to get to a final. We don't need to go into the nuts and bolts of that now. But yeah, the cup definitely is something. I think they all feel like it's one they left behind, maybe. And they kind of want to try and get back to at least a cup semi-final this year. Europe as well was mentioned by a lot of them, as you said, because like it's not that it's easier or anything, but like you can see the difference in putting a run together. You get a couple of wins on the bounce at a certain point of the season and suddenly you're in contention for Europe. But in order to do that, they need to start the season a lot quicker and better than they have done in the last couple of years. And yeah, look, a cup run, it should always be the aim at the start of every season, and they will all say that anyway, that it'll be the aim. But definitely I think the few of them are still hurting from that night down in Kerry and still wondering how on earth that happened. So I'd say, yeah, that's possibly top of the agenda for some of them.
Yeah, we like to think we're a cup team, Sligo Rovers, but bar 2019, I think under Liam Buckley, Rovers got to a semi-final against Dundalk at the Showgrounds. The cup has not been that enjoyable for Sligo Rovers in recent years.
No, I think we've gone out to first division opposition a good few times, and it's a worry. I'm delighted to hear Ollie Denham, and I'm delighted to hear Jessica and yourself saying that you've talked to the players and that European ambition and cup runs are, because that's what I want to hear as a fan, as a supporter. That's what I want to hear.
You don't want to hear hopefully we'll stay up.
No, well, I it frustrates me, Austy. It really does, because I think if we look at John Russell and if we look at him as a manager and everything else, and if the objectives that is given to him, I'd imagine that is given to him by the people who run the football club, is that to stay in the Premier Division, John Russell has done a very good job because he stayed in the Premier Division. But if that's the objectives that have been given, in my opinion, we're underestimating ourselves totally and utterly. We haven't been in Europe since Liam Buckley was there, who was sacked. All right, we haven't been close to it at any time. So I think it's a huge season for us. Every season is a big season for us. A cup run would be lovely, but then again, you could meet Shamrock Rovers in the first round of the cup away. So there's a huge amount of luck, you know, involved in winning cups and things like that. Yes, was the Curry thing a disaster? Yes, it was. And it damaged people. And I'm glad that we would have hurt us still in the players. I'm sure John is delighted to hear that as well. But I think if we can get off to a good start, because we haven't had a good start in a lot of the seasons gone by, do you know what I mean, in the league. So you're chasing your tail, you know, we really, really are. So hopefully the objectives that are set out is that we are pushing for Europe. I hope we will do that and that we do get a cup run. And I'm delighted to hear that's the mindset, because I think there was this sort of thing around, and even in supporters, I'm listening to some of them, oh, look, we haven't got the biggest budget, we'll struggle. And we never had the biggest budget. We never did, but we always done all right. So we've got to go and get the mindset on, it's 11v11, yes, let's get the Showgrounds and get it packed, and let's get the people behind us, create an atmosphere like it has been all through John's time to try and win football matches, and hopefully we can go and do that.
Jessica, you're a bit younger than us, so maybe you can give us a different sense. Is the cup still as central amongst Sligo Rovers fans as it was historically? I mean, And what I mean by that is, you know, because there is such emphasis on the league now, qualifying for Europe, the money that comes out of that, you know, the modern football has edged down that avenue across most leagues in Europe. Is that the sense across the League of Ireland?
Well, I think, Austin, for a lot of the younger Sligo Rovers fans, even younger than me, they grew up in that 2010s era when they were actually used to being in cup finals and used to planning a trip out to the Aviva Stadium, where obviously Tala at one point as well. So they were probably really used to finals in terms of the length of time that they were supporting Sligo Rovers. But I think a big part of it as well is that maybe people who are not around as long will hear the stories about all the classic cup finals and all that as well. And it's a day out. Like, you do want a cup final. It's when the town empties and everyone goes up to the cup, up to Dublin to see the cup final and all that. And it is a brilliant day out, and it's a brilliant journey to go on when you're, you know, getting towards a cup final and you win a quarter final and then you win a semi final, and you have to play some really good teams in that run up and beating them nearly, like, it can be really tough. So getting to a final in itself is a great achievement. But I think people acknowledge, you know, the importance of the league, especially where Sligo Rovers have been the last few years, and, you know, the annoyance of the Kerry defeat and the frustration about that. A lot of people were kind of like, well, look, the priority now is staying up. But it would have been nice to stay up and have a cup day out as well. So I don't think younger fans don't see the cup as being less important or anything like that. I think it's ingrained in everyone now, is that you hear it from people, whether you feel it yourself or not, but you just hear from everyone else that it's certainly like positive propaganda. Like, you know, you're a Sligo Rovers fan, you just have to want to be in a cup final. I know for years Sligo Rovers were kind of the cup specialists, and that kind of hasn't happened now for a while, but we do love a day out, don't we? So why not?
This is true. Will Fitzgerald is club captain for the 2026 season. This is his 10th League of Ireland season in his playing career. The last few at the Showgrounds, a place he seems to love and enjoy. Here are his ambitions for the team this season.
I think probably, I suppose what we say every year, you want a good cup run. We want to go one further than last year. We're still bitterly disappointed by the circumstances in which our cup run ended. So go one further in the cup, hopefully get to a semi-final, please God a final, give the fans a good day out, which they thoroughly deserve here in this town. And we really want to be pushing towards the top end of the table. We're bitterly disappointed with how we started last season, which almost ended up costing us in the end. So we want to carry the form from the second half of the season into the start of this year, and hopefully go on a good run and pick up as many points as possible.
Just on the cup, is that Kerry FC defeat, is that the one that rankles most of all from last season?
Yeah, it is. We don't even mention Kerry around here since that happened, to be honest. It's just an unwritten rule in the dressing room. Still leaves a lasting sting and pain, like, so bitterly disappointed now, for especially for all the fans that made that long journey down, and it's going to sting for a long time, even beyond this season. So we're hoping to right that wrong and go one further and really give the fans a good run with a good day out in the Aviva.
You're one of the guys the younger players look to, the fans look to you, given the way you've played in recent seasons for Sligo Rovers, the commitment you always show. We have to guess you wouldn't still be here if you didn't feel there was something here to play for.
Absolutely. I'm coming into the prime of my career. I'm still under contract for this season. I absolutely do love the club. From the people around here, they know the connection I have with everyone involved. They're all doing their utmost to push this thing in a positive forward direction, and I'm so privileged to be able to pull on this jersey every week and represent this town and the people that drive everything forward. And in saying that, John Russell, massive part in why I come back every year. He's a privilege to work with. He's an incredible manager, an unbelievable coach, and he's got a long, successful career ahead for him himself. And I just really enjoy working with him every day and interacting with the fans every week. And it means a lot. It's a second home now for me.
That's Will Fitzgerald, club captain for the season ahead. Gavin Dyke's a good choice?
Yeah, I think so. He's been very good, honestly. He's improves all the time. I think I enjoyed watching him and Hutchinson, actually. They really combined well together, and I think we missed Hutchinson, you know, when he left as well. Yeah, I think he's a good choice. I think he's not a shout or a roar. I don't think he's that sort of a captain, but I imagine he's the respect of all the players and that sort of a way. And I just on interest, I might come back to the cup thing slightly. It takes 5 games to win a cup, guys. You know, we look at Cork City were in a cup final last year, and the question was, and I know I talked to a lot of lads from Cork, was that they would have taken, they were going to be relegated, they knew they were going to be relegated, but if they'd have won the cup, they were in Europe. So, I mean, the cup is huge. It's the easiest way to get to Europe if you're a sort of club like Sligo at the moment. So it shouldn't be underestimated. But yeah, going back to the club captain, you know, I think Will Fitzgerald is decent. But, you know, probably the one thing that we'll lack is when Paddy McLean came in last year, we badly needed a leader. We needed somebody that would boss on the pitch, and he done that. He took it by the scruff of the neck. He ordered people around. I think in his first game in the Shoreguns, you could see him barking and balling and getting people into shape. And have we got that replacement yet? I think McHugh, I think, has a wee bit about that, but probably that's not what Will Fitzgerald does. So I think we're looking for other people to do it.
Yeah. And Jessica, Rovers need that. You know, they would have had Greg Bulger in recent seasons in the middle of the park, and certainly Paddy McLean's vocal impact, well, as well as his playing impact, was pretty instant when he came mid-season last year.
Yeah, I think that's a good point Gavin makes as well, is that that was the big thing with Paddy McLean coming in, was that you could see straight away in games, he was just in the door and he was shouting at his defenders, he was shouting at his midfielders, he was giving instructions, telling lads where they should be, telling lads where they needed to be to watch this player, to watch that player. He was a different Paddy McLean from the one that was there before when he was only, I think he was only 21 when he was first there, but he had matured so much from his first spell there, and we saw that in him. And I know he came back feeling like he had a point to prove at Sligo Rovers, because he kind of said he regretted leaving the first time, and he kind of wanted to show people that he was serious about Sligo Rovers when he came back, and I think we saw that from him. You know, we can sit here and give out about him leaving for Derry City all we want, and like the way it all played out in the end was massively disappointing, I think it's fair to say, from Sligo Rovers' point of view. But you know, he's gone to Derry, he'd be getting a lot more money at Derry than he was at Sligo Rovers. If it's his hometown club, his brother is there, so you know, that's fair enough. But I think replacing that side of his game, like, will be really difficult. And I was asking Gareth McElroy the other day about what he actually learned from playing alongside a player like Paddy McLean, and he was like, well, Paddy McLean taught me that the ugly side is okay too, and that, you know, you sometimes need to do the ugly side as well as the good side, say. And he was like, that's what I learned from playing with a player like Paddy. And, you know, he was talking about learning from the players and stuff. And I think, like, as you said, Karen McHugh certainly will bring some of those leadership skills. Will Fitzgerald, definitely not a roarer or a shouter on the pitch, but John Russell always says he leads by example. I think we all know he's the ultimate pro. Like, he's an amazing guy, Will Fitzgerald, and anyone who knows him would tell you about how committed and dedicated he is to his football. But you do need someone in a dressing room who's going to, you know, give a few lads a kick up the backside if they need it. And, you know, Shane Blaney may have to fill that role. He has got a lot of experience under his belt since the last time he was here. So that may actually be a role for him, and yeah, potentially Karen McHugh as well. But that is the biggest loss, I think, in terms of like Paddy McLean's departure, is you are really missing that side of things, his leadership skills, definitely.
I want to ask you both about the start to the new season. There were a couple of stages last year, Gavin and Jessica, where Rovers were 8, 10, 12 points from safety in the first half of the season in particular, and they stayed up. So in terms of lessons that this squad might have learned from last year, is the start one of them? And is it complicated by the way the league starts in February? Rovers are away from home in 3 of the first 4 games, and they include Derry City away, Waterford and Galway away, Bohemians at home. Gavin, what do you think?
It's a really difficult start, Hosty. I think we have struggled. I think a lot of that is down to still waiting for players to come in the last couple of years. I think, in fairness to John and Case, that they've got players in that they want, probably lacking a centre forward. I'd imagine pre-season is on all right for them. You know, it's pre-season is all about getting fit. It's not about results or anything else. I think it's a great fixture, the first one in the Brandywell. Sligo's record in the Brandywell isn't bad. Place is hopping up there. Speaking to people up there, there's a buzz around it that's really, really huge. The James McLean factor has added a massive impulse on winning the league. They've come out and said they want to win the league. Philip O'Doherty is insisting to win the league. I watched them last night. They're a decent side. They really, really are. I think they'll be pushing for it. But I think it's a good one to start with, because nobody gives you a chance going up there. And I think if you can go up there, keep it tight, you know, they're in with a shout of it. Bowes at home is another tricky one. Bowes have been in a lot of players. You know, they've huge amount of players have to come.
They've done serious shopping.
Yeah, they've done serious shopping, and if that blends all in together, you know, they could be a dark horse in it. The two key ones for me are away fixtures against Waterford and Galway. Like, they're difficult places to go, but yet I would imagine they'll be the teams that's going to be around us. And there was nearly a golden rule: you don't lose to the teams you think you're going to be around, because that gives you sort of an advantage. If you don't lose to them, that's good business. So I think it's going to be a challenging month, big time, but hopefully if we can pick up a few points, get started well, you know, there's a huge difference between a player sort of having points on the board. You know, as a player, you feel, right, I'm off and running. Where if you don't have points on the board early, then you're chasing all the time. You know, and with it comes pressure, with it comes lack of confidence, with it comes all those horrible side of football that other people don't know about or don't see about, sleepless nights and all that sort of stuff that players and managers more so go through. So hopefully you can go to the brand new one next week. It'll be a big occasion. It's sold out. It'll be a huge occasion. And if we go pick up a point there, it'd be a great start, you know, because then you're on the board. So I think that's the challenge, Ossie, but it's difficult. It's a difficult league.
Yeah. And Jessica, the reality is Rovers could play quite well in those first four games and have precious little to show for it come the end of February.
Yeah, well, even if you look at last season, you know, they played Waterford at home and, like, were so close to getting something from that game and had nothing. There was a couple of the first few games last year where they were, I'm not going to say unlucky, but they were close to getting something and then a mistake or something happened and they conceded. But yeah, that I think no matter how you start the season, it's going to be difficult the way the league is going, you know. We look at a particular month and we'll say that's a hard month, but like they all are. They're all difficult. Getting off to a good start is so important, and I think, again, we talk about lessons from last year, and that's one of the big things John Russell has said about having players in early for pre-season means they've all trained together from very, very early on, from the start of pre-season, and you don't have as many players coming joining late on and then trying to get to know players. At least most of them, bar one or two, probably will have had enough time to kind of get to know each other and all that. But yeah, that opening game away to Derry City, It'll be a tough game. Definitely will be a tough game when you look at Derry City and the business they've done. But as Dykesy said, it's 11v11, and then whatever subs you bring on. But yeah, look, bring it on. Nobody will be giving Sligo Rovers a chance in that game, and like that kind of almost fuels John Russell's team talk. I'd say it nearly writes itself for him. And they'll be going out again this year thinking that they have a point to prove, and why not? Because it kind of works, you know. It sort of, John Caulfield is great at this as well, you know. Kind of we're small and look at what we're against, coming up against in the league, and it definitely works. It gets fans on side, it gets players on side, and kind of that siege mentality thing definitely works, and it'll be the same this year again. You know what you're up against Derry City. They've signed brilliant players, but they've also signed brilliant players who know the league this year, you know, rather than signing a lot of lads from the UK. John Russell has brought in a lot of new players, but they're players who've played in the league, and even Mai Traore, he has played in the Showgrounds before, so it's not as alien to him as it might have been had he not played there, you know. So yeah, it will be interesting, but they do need to get off to a good start, because as you said, they could play well and end up with nothing, and that's no good to them. It really isn't.
Well, on that, let me play this from Sligo Rovers goalkeeper Sam Sargent, who's been talking to us this week about the importance of making a strong start. And he was very frank about last season on a personal level not making a strong start. He said he hadn't got himself ready pre-season the way he should have done, and he learned that very quickly. But once he got into the season, he was one of the you could say factors that helped turn Rover seasons around as his form began to rise.
You know, look at the squad we've got now, and it's no disrespect to the squad we had this time last year, but I feel like we're in a much stronger position. I feel like as a collective, in terms of all the positions, we're stronger, we're more competitive, we're hungrier, and I'm very excited, and I think everyone should be excited. We've the most important thing, I think, for Sligo and for us as a group is a lot of the core group from last year have stayed and are still here. And I know there's always been a big turnaround at Sligo, which is always hard, you know, building new connections and stuff. But, you know, you look at the core group that we've kept here, and that's going to play a massive part in us having a strong start and continue to build on that throughout the season.
Three of your first four games are away from home at the start of the campaign, so that's a challenging opening. They include away to Derry and against a trip to your home, your old club, Waterford United. But collectively, do you think your eyes are more wide open now in terms of the importance of trying to start stronger than last year?
Yeah, I think that's the main aim. You know, we don't want to be playing catch up. We were playing serious catch up last year, as everyone knows, and we did unbelievably well to claw it back and secure our Premier Division status. But you know, ultimately, we play every team four times. We play them twice at home, twice away. Yes, it's a tough start. You know, three out of the four games being away, but you know, I think as a group and as a club, we can look at that and think, you know, if we can get a good points return in them four games, then, you know, we're putting ourselves in a really good position and it all evens out. You know, we want to make the showgrounds a fortress, you know, and ultimately we'll be playing, you know, the same amount of games at home. So if we can pick up a good amount of points in them first, you know, four games, it sets us up for a very strong season.
That's Sam Sargent, the Sligo Rovers goalkeeper. And Gavin, there is a hugely important sense of security about who's between your posts. Rovers had that with Ed McGuinty, and eventually Rovers had that last season with Sam Sargent.
Yeah, look, he seems like an honest lad, and he admitted that I don't think he was in the best shape when he arrived, and it took him a while to get up and going. But towards the end of the season, he was probably the best goalkeeper besides McGuinty in the league. He made some unbelievable saves in the short runs and played a huge part in Sligo staying up out of the relegation place. I think it's a huge position. It's a massive position, because if he is confident and you're as a defender, you know, and you know there's somebody behind you, that if somebody makes a mistake, you know, you have a chance. I think it's a huge position for him. And hopefully, like I said, he stays injury free. I don't know a lot about the other lad that they've taken in.
Liam Hughes, who's Armagh by birth.
Yeah, don't know a lot about him. Like I said, I thought Conor Walsh was a... To let go was a big reason. Now, maybe the lad wanted to go, but like I said, yeah, I think it's a gamble. I think he's an under 20. From what I've seen of him, even last season, when he started off, he done quite well. Shells have got him in. Whether he'll challenge or start number one there will be an interesting one to see, because I think they've also done business that they brought in their keeper that was unknown last year. But I think Sargent has turned out to be a very good acquisition for us.
Yeah. Is Conor Walsh unlucky, Jessica, in some respects? Like, it didn't feel... He played badly last year when he was between the posts, and keeping Sam Sargent out, he did quite well. It's just Rovers were struggling across the board defensively, and there's only so much a goalkeeper can do about that. And maybe he feels, well, I need to go somewhere else where I can get more first-team football more often.
Yeah, and I think you want to be keeping a player who's come through your academy as well, but my understanding is that Shells came in and he was told he'd be given a chance at the number one jersey, and maybe he felt that wasn't going to happen at Sligo Rovers, particularly if it was Sam Sargent who was there. I think he has been unlucky, Conor Walsh, because highly rated as a young player, really well thought of by anyone who's worked with him. He had those few games last year when John Russell decided to make a few changes because it wasn't going well, and Sam Sargent came out for a few games, and Conor Walsh wasn't at fault in any of those games that Sligo Rovers lost. But as soon as Sargent came back in, we saw a different Sam Sargent, and he'd say that himself. And I think he said himself, Sargent, that he didn't realise how off it, to quote him, he was until he came out of the team. And like, Conor Walsh is a very, very good goalkeeper, and maybe I think part of it, and this is because he's a young player as well, he maybe wasn't as vocal as you see Sam Sargent is now when you watch games. And, you know, I don't know, maybe John Russell just felt that it wasn't the right time for Conor Walsh. But it's so hard as a young goalkeeper, like, and, you know, you're trying to take Sam Sargent's place, and Sargent is, you know, vastly experienced, and it'll be the same this year for Liam Hughes. He's another goalkeeper, you know, he was at Celtic, he was at Liverpool, he started his career, I think, at Dungannon Swifts, and like, I believe he's a really good goalkeeper and he looks really good, but it's going to be very hard to get that jersey. So yeah, Conor Walsh, I totally understand why he would want to leave. I think he will find it hard to get games at Shelburne though, with Vessel Spiel there ahead of him. But that's just the nature of being a goalkeeper. It's really, really tough. You need to take your chances when they come. And look, he may be back someday, Conor Walsh, who knows? But for the time being, like I think he left because he probably wanted game time, but I don't think he will get that at Shelburne either.
Okay. I'm going to ask you for some predictions or hunches. I'm not going to ask you to put your head on the block in a couple of moments' time. And on our way there, maybe we'll start with the contenders this season, the top of the table. Gavin, is it Shamrock Rovers against the rest, or are Derry City looking across at them for this new season, or might the reunion of Max Matta and Aidan Keane at Inchicore, plus other arrivals there, freshen things up for Stephen Kenny and St. Patrick's Athletic? Where is your eye being turned as we start this new campaign?
I think St. Pat's one is an interesting one. This time last year, everybody was saying that Pat's had won the league. There hasn't been a word said, and that's quite, I would say, deliberate from a Pat's side of things. I think they're saying, like, all the talk is about Derry and the players coming in, and rightly so, and there's a great buzz up there. And me personally, you know, I'd love to see Derry win the league. You know, if Sligo can't win it, I'd love to see Derry win it. I think it'd be great for the league. It's been a long time since they won it. But I have to go back to Shamrock Rovers and where they are as a club. They seem to be producing players all the time from their own academies as well that are coming through. So, look, they're going to be hard bet. I think Shams will be up there. The interesting one will be Bowes. I know Pats will be there, and I think Keena and Max Matta, as we know ourselves here, are a really good combination, and there is goals there. But I think the Bowes one will be really interesting because they brought in so many players. You know, if they gel, you know, they could be very, very good. I think James Taylor this season will be more settled as a centre forward. You know, they've lost Clark, all right, but I think he's a decent player. And it'll be interesting. It really, really will. Look, it's exciting. I think the league has got better. The standard has got better of that. There is no doubt. But it's going to be competitive. And the beauty about the League of Ireland is that on its day, anybody can beat anybody. That's the beauty of it. That's the beauty about football in this country.
Is that still the case? I mean,
yes.
We did speak off air before we came on air that the League of Ireland is gradually becoming two leagues.
Yes, Austin. But on the day, it's 11 v 11. All right. That's what it is. It's 11 people playing against another 11. There's only one ball. There's two sets of goals. The rules haven't changed. And I listened, it was very interesting. I listened to Roddy Collins last week. And, you know, he's on about coaching and about management and all that sort of stuff. At the end of the day, if you're a footballer, all right, your job is to win. That's your job. Your job is to go out and win a football match. And you should have that desire and passion to do everything you possibly can to win. And it's interesting to hear Jessica saying about young McElroy, you know, and what he's learned from Paddy McLean and the ugly side of the game. The ugly side of the game is the game. You know, at the end of the day, you're going to war. That's what you do every week. If you don't have that mentality, like what annoys me and annoys me about this modern game, and I think Sean Dyche in Nottingham Forest said exactly what everybody, what modern people should be listening to. He said, if it's my Nottingham Forest team that kick the ball long, all right, it's a long ball. If Pep Guardiola's team does it, it's a long pass. You know, and it summed it up. So, yes, if you were in the dressing room, in the Brandywell, next week, start of the game, Brandywell full, wouldn't you love to be going out there and absolutely go to war with them and say, listen, we're here. That should be the motto, and I think that's what we need.
Jessica, who's the team to beat this season?
I am going to say it's between, I think, Derry and Shamrock Rovers, to be honest with you. I think if Pats could have everybody fit, they may challenge, and Bowes like that as well. And Shells are a bit of an unknown entity. They've signed lads from clubs in Sweden and that kind of thing. And as I said, they're using this recruitment agency that I don't know enough about to go into, but they seem to have used that to recruit players. My only thing about Pats is that I think Keena, Matta and Simon Power are all injured. Haven't been in pre-season. One went off in Simon Power hasn't been involved in a couple of games, and either Matta or Keena went off during a game, and the other one wasn't there because he was injured, and Keena obviously missed quite a lot of last season through injury as well. So if they had Keena and Matta fit for a whole season, I think they could do damage, but I don't know what their status is at the minute. So I'm going to say it's between Derry and Shamrock Rovers, and then after that you're going to have probably similar enough, like Bowes, Shells, Pats challenging, pushing them.
Where are Sligo Rovers in the conversation, guys?
Well, we want to be pushing for Europe. That's the reason that all the players have said it. And I'm delighted to hear that, Austin, because that should be the ambition of it. If we get off to a good start, we could surprise a few. But like I said, it's going to be tricky. And there's no point in saying anything else. I think the relegation side of it, you know, there's Dundalk, I think, will struggle, I think, coming up. I think it's a big step for them. Waterford have a new manager in John Daly. You know, the Pádraig Amann who scores goals, that's the beauty about him. You know, he nearly kept him up last year by himself. Galway, hard to know, be honest with you. And I think then you have Sligo in around that as well. So it'll be interesting. But like I said to you, under day, you only get 3 points for beating Shamrock Rovers the same as you get 3 points for beating anybody else in the league. You don't get bonus points for beating them. You know, and I think the big games for us, like I said, if you look at the opening fixtures, Derry away is a free one. You know, you're at home to Bowes, you know, first game of the season at home, you're going to have a big crowd in the Shoreguns. Go and have a go at them. The next two are the ones that I would be targeting are really important, that you don't get beaten in. That you don't get beaten to Waterford away and you don't get beaten to Galway. And then if you go into March, Drogheda at home, you'd fancy yourselves here. Shamrock Rovers, who hate coming to the Shoregrounds, and long may it last, and have a right rattle at them. Then you've done Dock away and Shells away. So there's a couple, it's a tough start, but there's no easy games in this league. There never was.
And let's hope that doesn't change either. Gavin Dykes and Jessica Farry, thank you very much for your thoughts and insights. The League of Ireland starts Friday night at the Brandywell. Derry City against Sligo Rovers will be live on Ocean FM from 7:45. You can read Jessica in the Sligo Champion. You'll hear her on LOI TV and on Ocean FM, as you will the man to her right, Gavin Dykes, on the Sligo Rovers home commentaries. Gavin Dykes and Jessica Farry, thank you.
Thank you, Austin.
Thank you, Austin.